Hello, it's the year 2024. It's me, Matt Stewart, and we've sold out all four of our Do Go Ons live at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. But if you want to see me, you can do that. The show's called Dry Dryer, and we're at a new venue now. It's called The Grace Darling. Me and Sarenjaya Marnett, it's so much fun. The show's getting real good, I reckon. It's been heaps of fun, so we'd love to see you there. Use the discount code Do Go On for cheaper tickets. Also, we've now got the Do Go On quiz show. It's up online on the Stupid Old channel, so please check it out. Getting some lovely feedback so far. Please give it a watch, subscribe to the channel, maybe even comment on it, and, you know, feed those algorithm gods if you can. But love to see a Dry Dryer in Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane. Check out the quiz show. Anyway, let's get on with this show.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Do Go On Presents. We're all sitting back here. Me, Matt Stewart. Him, Dave Wernicke. Wernicke. And her, Jeez Parkins.
Hello, it's me, Jeez.
Hello, it's me, Wernicke.
We're all sitting here in a darkened room. It's a little library. There's an open fireplace. You can't see it. It's just off screen, off camera.
But that's the sound of it flickering.
Oh, flick, 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 flick. We've got a guy playing a stand-up banjo in the corner.
Steve Martin, I believe his name is.
Yeah, and he's playing some smooth jazz, banjo jazz in the corner. But we're all here just to briefly introduce a whole new show we're doing. It's a spin-off show to Do Go On. We're calling it Do Go On.
Ooh, wow. Where do they get their ideas?
we put it through a few different... target groups.
What's oh, yeah, that thing? Focus groups.
I couldn't think of it either. I wanted to help you and I couldn't think of it.
They all went, ah, Do Go Ons. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's perfect. How can you improve perfection, they said. That was the unanimous feedback and we thought, my goodness gracious, that is kind. So then we tried a different focus group because we thought that first one had obviously been bribed by Matt or Dave or me. And then the second group, same thing.
Yeah,
I bribed them as well.
And we thought, geez, if they kept getting bribed and answering the same way, it's got to be right. So we've gone with it. But what this episode is of a series that is a collaboration between us and Stupid Old Studios. And it's a web series, basically. But this is it in audio podcast form. But if you want to get the full audio visual experience, get it all in all 3Ds, audio, visual, and in the dick, then you can watch it at the link in the show notes. There's a bunch of visual gags, including some animated sections, photos and whatnot. And you get to see us sitting here in our leather-bound chairs.
Leather.
This week's episode, the first one, Dave tells us the story of the Hollywood sign. And it is even more exciting than it sounds.
I know. It's one of those things where you're like, oh, yeah, but it is actually... You know, a pretty surprising story, we found anyway.
Yeah,
I knew absolutely nothing of its origins or history.
Or how much Dick Van Dyke was involved.
So much.
We love you, Dick.
Thank goodness.
We love... He's the fourth D. and the fifth in Dyke. so if you want to watch it in all 5Ds, click on the link below. But yeah, if you're driving or something, feel free to listen to the audio version. You'll get most of it. But if you want to get those extra 4Ds.
I reckon the 4D, the full experience on the Stupid Old Channel YouTube page, free to watch. Why not give it a Give it a bloody look.
Give it a whirl.
And while you're there, why not subscribe to the channel? Because this is the first of 9 episodes that are going to be coming out over the next couple of months. We're not sure if we'll put the audio version in the feed, but probably will. And so listen and then watch and then listen again.
And then watch again.
And then have a little nap and listen again.
Yeah, because it's only like half an hour or so. So you can definitely do it all in a day, a few times with a nap.
Sit back, grab yourself a cognac,
mm-hmm.
And take your pants down just right, and enjoy this episode of Do Go On.
It's the most famous sign in the world, but it started life as little more than a giant billboard. Since then, it survived neglect and pranks, witnessed suicide, and was saved from destruction by Alice Cooper and Hugh Hefner twice. Today, we're talking about the Hollywood sign. Hello and welcome. My name is Dave Warnke and I'm sitting here with Jess Perkins and Matt Stewart. And today we're talking about the Hollywood sign.
What?
No, it's a surprise to all of us. Mostly me. I've never read this before.
Okay.
Oh.
No. The first question is, have you ever been to Hollywood and seen the famous sign?
Yeah, I went when I was 8. And I'm sure I saw it.
Right, so tick, done.
Yeah, done. No need. I don't particularly remember it, but I'm confident I saw it.
All right. Well, spell it then.
Okay. All right. From memory, H.
Oh.
H.
Damn
sorry.
It.
Sorry. Mispronounced. Damn mispronounced. Got you on a technicality.
All right. Well played.
Well, I was there last month, and here's a photo of me eating an apple pie in front of it. That's as close as I got. And if the tax office is watching, that was the sole reason I went to LA. Was for this report.
Right. Perfect. Great.
Well, written that off. Okay.
Great.
Good.
Okay.
Wait, where is the Hollywood sign there?
Yeah.
Is that dot?
If we could just enhance.
Oh.
And enhance.
Okay.
And there it is.
That's a big pie.
Yeah, the pie was bigger than my face.
That's a big pie, yeah.
There's actually debate as to how Hollywood, as we know it, got its name. What we do know is that a real estate developer called H.J. Whiteley bought 500 acres of land in the area now known as Hollywood. And later on in 1887, the name Hollywood was recorded on the land's deed. But one story that I like to believe is true. It goes like this.
That's strong.
And you'll see this. Whitley, apparently, saw a man carrying wood in a wagon and asked what the man was doing. And he said, hauling wood.
Uh-huh.
But because he had a thick accent,
yes.
Whitley misheard and thought he said, Hollywood.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
Now I did not see where that was going. So I'm like, what a boring story. This feels pointless.
Like,
get to Hollywood.
Well, I'll strap in for the next few minutes. Well, I enjoy any story where you mishear an accent.
Oh, yeah.
It happens so often.
So often. Well, either way, that became the name of the area, which in 1907 became home to a film industry when a small Chicago film company headed west for a film shoot.
Ah, from the Windy City.
Oh, Chicago.
By 1912, 15 studios had set up and the industry boomed.
Huh.
Americans went cinema crazy and Hollywood and the dreams and aspirations of that star-studded lifestyle that we all still want so badly.
I mean,
exploded.
Some of us want, some of us get, am I right?
We are sitting in our mansion.
Hollywood,
library.
For context, Hollywood is kind of like the Silicon Valley for film.
Now I get it.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you so much.
I just wanted to put it in a term to nerd like you would understand.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I hear silicon and I'm into it.
That's weird.
So Hollywood exploded.
What?
And
skipped it. How did you?
Luckily, they recovered from the explosion. No, I've got here. The local population exploded and it more than doubled in the 1920s.
More than doubled.
More than doubled.
Wow.
Tripled?
It didn't quite triple.
But it somewhere between double and triple.
We need a word for that.
Yeah. Triple?
Double and a half?
Yeah, double half.
No. Yeah, it's more than double. Double and a half. Let's say double and a half.
Stick with more than double.
So was it just farmland before this?
Yeah, pretty open area.
So Los Angeles didn't exist. I haven't got my head around the difference between Los Angeles and Hollywood.
Well, yeah, there's still people there, but what caused the city to really take off was this industry.
Yeah.
Really? Los Angeles is the biggest city in America because of movies.
Well, it's not the biggest city in America.
Wow. I'm learning so much.
I believe New York has more people.
Whoa.
And possibly more soul. Well, what you need to know is a bunch of people moved to Hollywood to start making films, and as is often the way, people saw this and wanted to cash in.
Yeah.
So a syndicate of investors led by the publisher of the LA Times, Harry Chandler, decided to launch a real estate venture.
Oh, could he be any more real estate venturing?
It was an upscale development underneath where the sign is today. They were basically selling house and land packages marketed as an escape from the bustling city.
Oh.
That was how they were selling Hollywood. That's fun.
Well, this is how they were selling Hollywood. They needed to advertise the development, and early on it was a bit wordy. They placed an ad, and this is what it read. See if you would buy from this ad.
Okay.
Will your family enjoy a delightful home in the clean, pure mountain air of Hollywood land?
Yes.
With its wonderful climate, broad open spaces and plenty of elbow room?
Yes.
Or will you live in a dwelling in the flat, uninteresting houses in a row sections of the city, your family's freedom hampered by this maelstrom of human existence?
I don't want that.
Wow. Hey, do we really need to big ourselves up by pushing down others? Yeah. Hollywood? You fucking... Are we swearing on this?
We are now.
Well,
I was about to say the big swear. So...
Thank you for your restraint.
Thank you for thanking me. Is this what this is meant to be?
Well, just 2 hours of us thanking you.
Thank you and thank you.
So that was the ad that they placed. Surprisingly, it didn't really capture the public's imagination. Mm. So they decided to think outside the box. It's again debated as to who had this thought, but someone suggested a giant billboard. But not just a billboard, a sign that would put the name of the housing estate on the map. The estate was called Hollywood Land, and in 1923, they built the giant letters that we all know today. So originally it had 4 more letters and read Hollywood Land.
What were the 4 more letters?
Hol. Mm. So these days it's just Leewood Land, which I love.
Hollywood Land. So it was literally a billboard for real estate.
For real estate.
So it may as well be like Taylor's Lakes or something.
Yeah. Caroline Springs.
That's what Hollywood was. It was just a Henley Properties estate.
Come have a look.
With elbow
That's
room.
That's wild. I had no idea about that.
You could just say display homes here and then an arrow.
Yeah, that would have done the job too.
So I saw a sign like out about half an hour out of Melbourne for a new display village thing, and it said, do you want to live in the middle of everywhere? And I'm like, yeah, so why are you advertising living in a different place? It was literally in the middle of nowhere.
They have in brackets, don't live here.
They're like, nah, we're going to put in a BP, so got everything you need.
Yeah, but surely the selling point is, do you want to live away from everything?
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of.
A bit of peace and quiet.
Yeah.
Hey, do you want a backyard?
Oh my goodness.
You want a bit of that?
Or do you want to live in the maelstrom of human existence?
Oh, my God.
That
is
too.
Poetic words, really.
That's bleak.
I'm surprised by this. So it is, LA is an existing place and Hollywood is like an estate on the outskirts.
Well, there's an area called Hollywood, but then to capitalise on people wanting to move to Hollywood, they've bought this land and said, let's market it as Hollywood Land.
Yeah, right.
And it's actually a long way away. At the time, it's like, oh, come here for a quiet break from the rest of the city.
Yeah.
But obviously, over time, it's expanded. Mm. But a road had to be built to get the materials to the sign of the site. But the last bit of the journey was so inaccessible that the materials had to be carried up the mountain by mules.
Yep. That means it's inaccessible.
Yeah.
Only mules will do.
Get them to swallow condoms full of drugs and send them up. These mules had to carry 60 telephone-sized poles.
And if they burst in their rectums, that's bad news.
That is bad news. But that's on them. They will be disowned by the drug dealer in question. They had to carry 60 telephone-sized poles that would support the sign's letters.
Sorry. They are the size of telephone poles or the size of telephones?
That is a good question.
Because I know it was a long time ago, telephones were a bit bigger, but still, yeah, I could carry a couple of telephones, I reckon. Easy. Like telephone poles, massive
telephone
poles.
Big time.
Great.
What year is this again?
1923.
Oh, good year.
Mm. Very good year. So the letters were 45 feet high and were made up of 1,320 pieces of thin sheet metal and the media stunt cost a pretty penny. Back then, it cost $21,000, which is over $250,000 US now.
Okay.
That feels like a good investment in an icon.
Well, they didn't know it was going to be an icon. The plan was to put it up for 18 months.
Right.
Sell the properties, tear it down.
Kind of like Eiffel Tower was meant to be a temporary thing, but it became so much more.
So much more.
What is it?
Yeah, this goes on. Big spike in the sky.
Yep.
Hat stand.
Place to meet people.
I think someone's married to it. A groom.
Australians get engaged there.
Australians do. Only Australians.
Mainly Australians. Well, the only ones in my Facebook feed.
You can put magnets on it.
You can.
Is that true?
I assume.
Could you put a magnet of the Eiffel Tower on the Eiffel Tower? No,
that's illegal. That is illegal. Now, something I didn't realise was the sign originally was covered with nearly 4,000 lights. And at night, the billboard flashed in four stages. It would say Holly, then Wood, then Land, and then Hollywood Land.
Oh, love it.
It's like it's regressed as a sign.
Yeah,
I mean, now at night you can't see it at all. It goes away.
Super analog when it was born in Dolby Digital Surround Sound.
Yeah, it's pretty boring now. Yawn.
Well, you yawn, but for many, the sign was a symbol of the glitz and glamour of Hollywood. But as for others, it came to represent the tough industry it towered over. Peg Entwistle was an actor that will be forever associated with the sign.
Peg Entwistle?
Yeah, you know that name we all know. Peg Entwistle.
Oh, sorry, I'm mispronouncing that. Peggy Entwistle.
Peggy, yes. Peggy.
You know that name?
Entwistle.
I don't know the name, but I love that
name. It's a great name. Sadly, that name is associated with the sign for all the wrong reasons.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Also, okay, yep. Go on.
She was a young actor in the 1930s.
Change your name then. If you're an actor.
No, that's her stage
name. That's her stage name?
That honestly is her stage name. I have not written down her
Peggy
full name.
Peggy Entwistle.
Her name's like Mary or something and people call it Peg.
Yeah, Peg, I can see that. She's punched it up there. Mary to Peg. Where did she come from to get to Entwistle?
Entwistle.
Because I love
clunky.
It. Well, I think I need to make that clear. I love it.
She was Welsh. Originally born in Wales.
So it was probably a lot longer.
Is that a Welsh
originally
name?
Born in Wales.
Yeah, then she was reborn.
I mean, you're all reborn once you hit Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
Rebrand. That's what I'm looking for. Young actor in the 1930s, and for a time, the future looked bright. She'd had a tough start in life, moving from Wales to America to live with her aunt and uncle after her parents had died. Her aunt and uncle were in the theatre business, and Peg started acting. She picked up their scripts.
Bit of jazz hands.
Yeah, she had a talent. That's so rare these days. What, am I playing the bagpipes? I don't know what I'm doing there.
You're trying to hold a book and do jazz hands. It's not an easy thing to do. But with my training...
Yeah, I reckon you can get me there.
It looked like to me that you were trying to get something out of the mule.
Hang on. Give us a sec. Don't move. Do not move. And I cannot stress that enough. So she started performing in plays in New York and then back in LA. Things looked really up when she was offered an acting gig in a movie.
Ooh, that's where you want them.
On a street.
Well, it was so tempting that she skipped out on two plays that she was booked for
Literally?
To take the job.
She skipped out.
That's the happiest way to leave a play.
That's the happiest way to leave anything, I reckon.
That's true.
Or if you've got access to a hoverboard, hover the fuck out of there.
Imagine if you could skip on a hoverboard.
Stop it. That's the future.
Well, sadly... This would blacklist her from the theatre scene because she bailed on the plays that she was... The professional plays. She said she'd be in them, rehearsed and everything, but then got this movie and said, I've got to do the movie.
Because at the time, wouldn't a theatre have been the more respectable thing?
Well, yeah, and I think it was
in the olden days.
And two
right.
separate scenes, as you know, the theatre scene, the movie scene. But she's transitioning to film, or so she thinks. The movie role turned out to be not the big break that she'd hoped for.
Oh, no.
She played a woman in a lesbian relationship. But due to the motion picture production code at the time, thinking that this was too controversial to show to the American public, the studio was forced to drop that storyline, and Peg went from a main role to a small background cameo.
She was just a barista in a Starbucks in the background of a scene.
That was actually the first time Starbucks existed. Yeah. It was a fictional baristery.
It actually started. Yeah, it actually started as like a
which is also a that's what they used to call cafes.
Baristery.
Baristeries.
Love that. I love history.
Yeah.
Don't you?
I love baristery history. Oh,
I love
well.
Baristery history.
I could read and write a book on it.
And he has.
I'd write it. I'd write it first.
Sitting next to you, I believe you could read a passage for us. That would be sure. Most welcome.
I didn't want to steal your thunder, but please. Okay.
I know
any page in particular?
Page 10's my favourite.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember all my favourite pages of books.
Yeah, get a photographic memory, I believe, don't you?
Yeah.
There we go. Turn up the right way for a bit of a challenge.
Okay. The baristery industry was getting hot.
Oh.
Much like the milk that they frothed.
People were moving to town.
Which town? Sorry, you don't ask questions as someone who's reading a book.
I'm reading a book.
Sorry.
I'm assuming the book will get to it.
Do you want me to get a page 12 and answer that question?
Choose your own adventure, is it?
All the men and women loved living in the foam, which is what they called Baristaville.
Oh,
and they ate little bickies.
Oh, right.
And they couldn't have been happier with their choices because they were living it up and they were ringing wrong.
Wow, I mean, you could have got an editor, but you didn't. And that's fine.
I wrote it, stream of consciousness, and I have no regrets.
Yeah, wow. Like all the greats, James Joyce, Virginia Woolf, Matt Stewart.
They ate little bickies.
Is that available in audiobook form?
It is, yeah. It is.
Great.
Who reads it? Is it you or it Stephen
is?
Fry?
No, it is me.
Couldn't get Stephen Fry?
No, could. But I refused him. He begged. He begged to be involved. I said, Stephen.
Could but wouldn't.
This is my book. How dare you try and usurp me?
Yeah, good call.
You know nothing of the baristery.
Yeah. You haven't done any of the research, Stephen.
No. You thought I could just slide in and take the glory.
Classic Fry. Well, if I can slide in here to take us away from fun and into tragedy.
Please.
Okay.
She tried to return to the theatre. This is Peg Entwistle after being put in the background at the baristery, but was not looked upon kindly for skipping out on the previous theatre role for cinema, and she was blacklisted. Sadly, on Friday the 16th, 1932, at the age of 24, she hiked up to the Hollywood sign and took her own life by jumping off the top of the H.
Oh, wow.
That is why she's forever associated with the sign.
Right. I wonder if you'd specifically choose a letter or you wouldn't think about it.
Yeah, I guess.
D for Dave.
Yeah.
Is what she could have thought.
But there's a bit of a rounded edge. At least the H, you've got that middle level and then you can sort of get up. The D, you've just got a big sort of empty void in the middle. And then,
much like Dave, an empty void in the middle.
From here to here is empty.
Yeah.
So as I said, originally the sign was only meant to be out for 18 months and they planned to tear it down. But it stayed standing, becoming a bit of a landmark, but no one wanted to pay for the upkeep.
Right.
In 1933, the owners had stopped their maintenance. They only paid for that first 18 months. The marketing purposes had long gone and were starting to cost money, and over the years, the sign fell into disrepair. For a time, it actually became a bit of an eyesore, visible from all over Los Angeles. In 1936, the second O fell over.
Fell over.
Before two more letters joined it on the ground.
How did they fall?
In the wind.
Get out.
It's up on this hill.
Did nobody bolt it down?
Well, they didn't build it properly because they thought, we're going to spend too much money on
it. Yeah, and it's only going to be up for a short
time. Yeah, it's crappy wood at the time.
Yeah.
Much like the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
Fell over. Twice.
Crappy wood. Yeah.
That's why the magnets didn't stick.
Yeah. Don't know why we thought they would.
Because the wood was crappy. Not that sweet magnetic wood.
Yes. Oh, man.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Jess, before jumping, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounds so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI. Generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get short and long form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It'd be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have, from vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh my God.
Three letters have fallen over, and the company that built it gave in to public pressure and paid a small fortune to have it repaired. In December 1944, the owners of the sign, sick of having to pay this upkeep, donated it and the 425 acres around it to the city of LA for the token price of a single dollar. The city then added it to Griffith Park.
Wow. A dollar? That's an absolute bargain.
Yeah, it's funny when deals like that get done, and it's just for legalities, right? They have to pay something.
Got to pay something.
Yeah.
But you think now it was under the control of the city, this is where its icon status really took off. It would surely get the respect it deserves.
Yeah.
And it's still got land?
Still got land. But not long after acquiring it, the H was knocked over in the wind and then lay on the ground for nearly 6 years.
What?
So for 6 years, it read Hollywood Land.
Hollywood Land.
I like it.
All right, Governor. Welcome to Hollywood Lane.
Did you just black out for a bit there? Come back to us. Come back to us, Matt.
And you're back in the room.
What?
Yeah. Sorry about that.
In 1947, the city's Recreation and Parks Commission suggested the whole sign be torn down, but residents luckily rallied against this decision.
Really? But they liked it even though it had fallen over and it had been not saying Hollywood for a long time.
For 6 years it said Hollywood Land and people are like, I love Hollywood Land. I love it.
Wow. That's
Dick
cool.
Van Dyke.
I love it.
Yeah, Dick Van Dyke actually played. There was a man whose job was to live up next to the sign, and it was his job for many years when it had lights to change the nearly 4,000 lights. And Dick Van Dyke actually played that guy in a film.
What?
Seriously, yeah. Wasn't going to include that, but there it is. Bit of a bonus.
What film was that?
It was a short film.
Okay. Very short.
Possibly educational.
So 4,000 globes he's got to change.
Mm.
And they're not all going out at once. Do you reckon every day at least one of them's out?
I reckon.
God, that'd be annoying.
That's your full-time job. Oh, today I'm going to change one globe. Great. I'm Dick Van Dyke. Fantastic. Actually, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Happy to be Dick. I always say that.
Me too. The Hollywood Chamber of Commerce president John Kingsley entered the argument by offering, on behalf of the chamber, to finance the resurrection of the H, provided the last four letters land were removed so it would represent the whole city.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's smart.
So there was years of debate, but this finally happened, and this is when the sign went from Hollywood Land to just plain old Hollywood. As we know it today.
What are we up to now, year-wise?
Well, that was the 1940s, and it went through a couple of small facelifts and minor repair jobs over the next two decades. And despite being recognised as a historical cultural monument by the city of LA in 1973, by 1978 it was obvious that the sign had seen better days. It was never designed to last for this many decades, and the wood supporting the letters had rotted away and was further damaged in a storm. So in 1978... the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce launched a Save the Sign campaign with a goal of raising $250,000 to replace the old sign with an exact replica built out of stronger materials.
Right.
Rock and roll legend Alice Cooper pledged $27,700 to repair the third O.
$27,700.
Weird amount of money.
Well, I think it's one. It's kind of one ninth. He basically bought one letter.
I see.
He said, "You request that."
Okay. I still hate it.
I love it.
It's such a weird number. Like, give 25 grand.
And he said,
give 30. $27,700. Oh!
I'm sorry.
He just explained it so perfectly and you won't accept that.
I said that I get it, but I still don't like it.
It just doesn't sound like you get it.
I'm not sure if you get it.
Do I need to get the calculator out? So he said, I want to rebuild the third O in honour of Groucho Marx, the legend who had died the previous year.
Yeah, classic third O. It was the third O of the Marx Brothers.
We've all said it.
Yep. Bruno and Cedric were the other two O's. Yeah. Are they the other Marx Brothers?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, made it. Zippy, Jippy, Cedro and Guacamole. Warner Brothers Records announced they would also contribute $27,700 for the replacement of the second O. Playboy magazine founder Hugh Hefner held a fundraising night at the Playboy Mansion to support the sign. At the event, Moon River singer Andy Williams announced that he would pledge to rebuild the letter W.
Moon
for Williams.
Moon River, lobby, dooby doo.
I didn't think he would play it, and then bam, second encore. It's a Simpsons reference. Thank you so much. Hefner's event raised over $45,000, and the letter Y was dedicated to him. So now all these letters are dedicated to these celebrities.
What's going
to
be the last letter chosen? The poor little last kid picked for the sports team.
People got to step up.
What I mean, we all have favourite letters, sure, but aren't they all necessary?
It's the second L. It's just a stick.
Oh.
Good point.
They only use sticks?
Yeah, well, that's part of why they need to rebuild it, because they literally just put sticks up.
Other donors came forward, including Terence Donnelly, a publisher of the Hollywood Independent newspaper, Italian movie producer Giovanni Mazza, and actor Gene Autry, and eventually the money was raised. The old sign was ripped down, and for the first time in 55 years, Hollywood had no sign. It took 3 months for the new sign to fully go up, this time supported by steel girders dropped in by helicopters.
That makes more sense than mules.
Was mules on the end of a helicopter.
Yeah.
Lowered down.
But wearing hard hats this time because we've learnt.
That's right.
And our safety is better now.
We respect animals.
And it being Hollywood, they also had bellies full of coke.
Yeah.
Classic mule.
This time without content.
And they also had big dreams.
Yeah.
It was Hollywood. That's why they were there.
Belly full of dreams. Stuffed into condoms.
Yeah.
Swallowed one by one. It was unveiled in November 1978.
78, cool.
This new sign was built to stand the test of time, and the only real threat to it since has been commercial development around it. In the 2000s, it looked like housing could be built close to the sign, but a fundraiser called Save the Peak was launched to raise the money to buy the land. Hugh Hefner again came to the rescue, and it was his $1 million donation that got the $12 million fundraiser over the line. Hugh Hefner later said, "It represents Hollywood dreams."
Oh, that's beautiful, Hef.
It does seem like it'd be short-sighted to muck with that with housing, right? Just places where people can live, you know?
Yeah.
This is letters on a hill.
Guys.
Yeah.
This is so much more than that.
Yeah.
He makes such a good point.
This is letters on a hill with a small shack nearby where a man used to live that was later played by Dick
Van
Dyke.
Yeah. Please, bit of respect. I like to think it was Dick Van Dyke.
Who looks after it now?
Dick Van Dyke's son, Barry Van Dyke, who was also his son in Diagnosis Murder.
Which is one of the greatest shows of all time, which Jess would be aware of.
I'm sure you're aware of that.
Of course.
The son, Barry Van Dyke, was a cop. Dick was a doctor.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Dr. Mark Sloan, his
the
son.
The two of them solved a crime every week.
Yes.
Doctor dad, cop son, coming together.
Beautiful.
It's real nice.
Beautiful.
Fantastic
and
show.
Makes sense.
And then,
of course the doctor's solving the crime.
Of course.
And they also got nearly every other one of Dick Van Dyke's relatives to play characters on the show. I think they're
Cedric Van Dyke, Bruno Van Dyke,
Guacamole Van Dyke. I believe that Barry Van Dyke's son, so Dick's grandson, whose name is Shane Van Dyke, played, I think, 8 or 9 separate characters on the show throughout the series.
Yes.
They just kept bringing him back.
Dick, Shane, and Barry. Name a more iconic trio.
Groucho, Guacamole, and Zippy.
Well, it's close, but I think Dick, Barry, and Shane have got the chocolates.
That's
Dick, Barry, and
Shane.
Holy shit, that's so good. That's my favourite fact of all time. The Van Dyke, 3 generations. Mm. Dick, Barry and Shane.
Yes.
That's sort of like an old school version of Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Which one were you, Dick?
Dick, Barry, which one were you, Shane?
Well, I'm definitely Shaning Barry.
Funnily enough, I dick Dick.
Yeah. Leaving Barry for Shane.
That's the game every time. You got to dick Barry and Shane, dick Barry and Shane. It's a tough one.
The combinations are endless.
I'm going to stick with what I said yesterday when we played it last. I'm dick and dick. Barry and Shane and Shaning Barry.
So these days it just says Hollywood and it looks like the letters won't be falling down again anytime soon. But if you look up at Mount Lee, the mountain where it is, it doesn't always say Hollywood. Over the years, there's been some pranksters afoot.
Oh!
They've changed the lettering.
Oh, what have they done? What have they done now?
In 1976 and 2017, people have pranked it to say Hollyweed. Both times to mark looser state marijuana laws being passed in California.
It's 420 somewhere, isn't it?
How do they do it? How do they make O's look like E's?
Oh, they hang stuff over this over
that
the O's.
That makes more sense, yes.
Like that.
Hang stuff.
I was just like, but it's an O. How do you put the thing?
Yeah, they temporarily knock it down.
Yeah, got it.
Other times, letters have been hung over the existing characters to change it completely. Other times it said, in 1987, it said Caltech to represent the California Institute of Technology.
Okay, that's less funny.
Go Caltech.
They would have had to hang a lot of things in front to change it that
yeah.
way.
Yeah, it looks completely different.
Honestly, that's just a different sign.
Yeah.
It was changed to Perot Wood when Ross Perot was running for US president in the 90s.
Oh.
Wow. Yeah, and that went real well. And we'll always have President
Perot,
the man you just said. We all remember him well.
Ross Perot.
What a great stint he had there in the old Oval Office. Which is the place that they do all their business.
They hung a sign over it and it was actually the square office and he was...
That's fun. I love Hollywood pranksters.
My personal favourite is when in 1993 it was changed to read Jolly Good.
Oh, that's good.
Jolly Good?
That was when Dick Van Dyke was in there. In my head, Dick Van Dyke is permanently his English there. Character from Mary Poppins. Jolly Good.
Yeah,
that was as good of an English accent as he did in the film.
That was actually a little too good.
Yeah.
That was offensively good. So it said Jolly Good in 1993, something that Richard Branson would organise again in the year 2000 when Virgin started flying non-stop from LA to London.
Another man with an unconvincing English accent.
Richard Branson. So it said Jolly Good.
Hello, I'm Richard Branson.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good Richard Branson.
Oh, let's fly on a plane. I'm a madman. Oh, I'm all right, good on me.
He is famously evil.
Is he really?
And mad. That's not true. Don't sue me, Richard. So, at first I read that it was changed for a media stunt to advertise something. And also Pepsi have had a figurine put up there, a figure put on there. Movies have been launched by putting things up there. And at first I was like, well, how awful. They've taken an icon and turned it into little more than a bit of marketing. Yeah. And then I remembered that the whole reason it's there was for marketing in the first place.
And marketing something pretty dull too. Yeah.
Land. House and land packages.
Yeah. Man. Unless you're into that. But, I mean, as an artist, you'll never own a home. It's not particularly interesting.
Just called herself an artist.
Yeah. That's the issue.
This is all a ruse. We're sucking you in. She did it. We caught it. Wrap it up.
Well, it is time to wrap it up. Thank you so much for joining me. In the library.
Thanks so much for having us in your library.
It's our library.
Our library.
We'll never own a home, but we will own a library.
Yes. All of those books are real.
Yes.
Yes, but that is it for the Hollywood Sign. If you want to hear more from us, this is a spin-off from our podcast, Do Go On, which has over 200 episodes. We've covered other classic Hollywood topics like Marilyn Monroe, the drowning of Natalie Wood, the Black Dahlia murder, and who could forget the life of Hugh Hefner. Subscribe for free on your favourite podcast app, and be sure to subscribe to this channel to check out our other episodes.
I reckon he nailed it. Well done, Dave.
Thank you.
Dave's a loser. Ha ha!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.